Come along with us as we discuss our heritage for our legacies.
Welcome to our journey.
Good afternoon. I'm Michael.
I'm David.
And here's Keith.
Well, we're live again.
We made it through another week. That intro kind of throws me off. Anyway, that song, it hits me every time I get to listen to it. It came on the radio the other day, and it's just like, wow, yeah. He was talking to me riding down the road, so.
Yeah, and the part talks about a Chevrolet truck, and that's, you know, the first truck I remember Grandpa having was a Chevrolet. That kind of hits me every time I hear that.
Yep.
Well, and we moved here with that 52 Chevrolet, and that was the first truck that Daddy ever had that I remember. An old work body, electrician's truck. And so, yeah, Chevrolet, 52 Chevrolet. It's neat to have those memories.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
All right, so you want us to cold call somebody?
Yep, we're gonna have a surprise. They're gonna be surprised. They don't know that's coming, but we're gonna call somebody up.
Y'all hang tight just a second.
Hello.
Hey, Mama.
Hey, David.
Well, you figured out it's David, your oldest son.
You told me you were calling me on Michael's phone.
I did. I sure did. And just so that we're open, I don't want, you know, I guess I am going to surprise you. Michael and Keith, they can hear what we're saying, and you'll hear what they're saying, too.
Hey, Aunt Cindy.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, Aunt Cindy.
Hey, Michael.
All right. Mama, we want to ask you some questions. We found out that some people get really nervous when we say that we're going to put them on the podcast. So to keep you from getting really nervous, we're just going to call you up and ask you some questions so that you don't have enough time to back out. I'm gonna start with an easy one. When Justin and I were little, and you were wanting to get our attention, was there a phrase that you used that you would always go to?
David. Because your memory is so much better than mine, I'm going to turn this back on you, please.
Okay. Well, everybody knows. I mean, the answer to the question was Lanny David Williams is the way that you would get my attention. And with Justin, it was Justin Blue Williams. Whenever we heard our full name, we knew we were in trouble. is that something that you plan? Is that something that just come out natural?
Well, I heard Cynthia Diane more than once myself.
Okay, so it's part of our heritage.
I do believe it is.
Mm-hmm. Say, I was telling Mark, our Uncle Mark, a story this week where it was almost dark, and he was saying, well, kids don't play outside like we used to. And I said, yeah, this is the time of the day that I would always hear, it didn't matter where I was on the farm, the front door of our trailer would open, and I would hear David, and I would always say sir. But Daddy never answered back. I knew what it meant. It meant come home.
Yep. Come here.
And Bubba, Thomas Curtis Bowen, that we grew up calling Bubba. It was a year older than me. That was, you know, I was with Bubba every day, playing somewhere on the farm, and Bubba would always get tickled. He would start giggling because he would wait. We would wait to see if Daddy was going to say anything when I say sir, and Bubba would just start giggling. He's not going to answer you, David.
I can hear that laugh, Bubba's giggle.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear right now when you say it. I remember it just as good as I remember Michael's, and I must say I have enjoyed hearing Michael's laugh on these videos.
It's been fun getting to laugh.
Yeah.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
Right. It's time we did more laughing. But some of the memories I have of playing after dark is one of my earliest memories is in a wash tub. You and your cousins, we had Tasty Freeze dill pickle buckets that you guys played in water in the backyard.
That was our swimming pool.
Yeah. Yep.
We were little enough to fit in a 5-gallon bucket. That was a while back.
I even remember the cattle trough.
I remember there's a picture somewhere of me and Stan sitting in 2 5-gallon buckets.
Yes, I have that until the day that the Woolworth had the little swimming pools, and I took the Chevrolet Malibu to Waycross with, I know you and Justin were with me, but I know your daddy was not, and I had a piece of rope, and I tied a swimming pool on top of that Malibu. And coming, that's when the Waycross Highway was 2-lane. And coming home with that pool, we got about in front of Steve's Pine Room, you know, the bar over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing blew off. So I made you guys stay in the car and crammed that pool into that seat.
That was right. That's right there where Dollar General is today, right? In that area.
Well, anybody knows where Steve's Pine Room is. That's the nail salon now.
The nail salon.
Yeah.
Close to Forest Fine Furniture.
Yeah. On the Waycross Right Share Highway.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so we crammed that pool and got it home, and the good Lord helped me tape it up with duct tape so y'all really had y'all a little pool. So that was our first experience. But I wasn't through telling you about my experience playing at dark after dark. When I was very, very small, Mama would it would be so hot in the summers, and she would let us play after dark in the little wash tub full of water. And I remember playing in the yard after dark and washing down in that wash tub, running around in the yard. Good memories.
Well, it's the Christmas season is on us. And I would like to ask you, what do you remember about Christmas being on the farm with the family?
One of my favorite memories is the Christmas when a lot of the family had come in, and I'm pretty sure you and Justin were in that truck when we loaded up in the back of the truck and we went Christmas caroling over by Aunt Iris's on the dirt road, over by Will and April's, Amy and Daryl, Anya and Donnie, down that dirt road. Mm-hmm. And we were going down that road, and the deer, I remember the moon shining so pretty, and I remember the a deer crossing and seeing the deer, and I just remember being together with Cyril and singing. I don't even remember whose truck we were in. Could have been your Uncle Terry's. That's one of the memories of Christmas that was really special. I remember all Christmases coming up. I remember a lot of Christmases when I was coming up. Of course, when it was just us at home, I remember Mama working, preparing things for us, and going to the Church of God, and being, there was a Miss Sister Kirkland who was in charge of the Christmas programs, and there would always be singing the Christmas carols. I can't hear a Christmas carol now without remembering the special Christmases, learning the Christmas carols and singing. And then when, as I got a little older, we had the little bit of acting in the Christmas programs, different stories told. And Mama loved the Christmas season, and she loved the Christmas stories. There was one where I believe Sammy was the shoemaker. Your Uncle Sammy was the shoemaker in one, and Mama really liked that. There was one where I was pretending to be a disagreeable teenager, and I had to fram, you know what fram is, on the piano. And I remember Mama telling me that someone was complimenting my acting skills, and Mama let them know that some of the real Cindy was coming out on that stage.
You didn't have to act very much with that one.
You probably should have got an Oscar for that performance. Angry teenager. I'm sure you had to reach deep for that.
It wasn't even a teenager, son. It was earlier than that, preteen and attitude. And that's why I can look at my beautiful granddaughters and when they are showing some attitude, I remember telling Lenny one day, honey, I came up with that move. You're not impressing me. I get it. I understand where you're coming from. But there is. Mama raised several girls, so she knew, and she knew how to talk to us. She knew how to put us in our place. When I was really little, very young, I remember the sweet little ladies at the Blackshear Church of God and them telling me how pretty I was. And my mama would cut them short. I mean, I look at my grandbabies now and all of my nieces and their babies, and I understand what the ladies were saying. And because you look at the pictures of your grandmother, she was very, very beautiful on the outside. And that was just an inkling of the beauty that was within her.
Got that right.
Yep.
But she let those ladies know real quick that pretty is as pretty does. If I heard that once, I heard it a million times. So well, I don't say it to my grandbabies and my nieces. I just tell all of them how pretty their babies are and how pretty they are, because there are some beauties. But I do whisper, Lord, help them to see that the beauty is in, within.
All right. Mama, when all my life I can remember Christmas Eve, we were always at Grandma Boland's on Christmas Eve. When did that start? Is that something that the family did years before I came along?
It was very important to Mom and Daddy that the older children with families be home on Christmas Day. They got that, and they respected also like our Williams family and Dixon family and Howard family and Hughes family and Karen family and Patterson family and the other Bowen family. And did I leave anybody out? Johnson family. And
they, do you remember when, I mean, I don't remember when we started reading the Christmas story. It's just always been a part of it the whole time. That
Lee family. Hold on. Lee family.
Right.
Let me finish that thought. the reason I was saying that is as our family grew, yes, I remember us having Christmas Zena. The tiny little toddler, she ran on her toes. She didn't walk, she ran. And she ran on her toes. I remember the joy when my older siblings married and Mama would get with them and find out when they could come and spend some time with us. I don't remember a lot of gifts. I remember the joy that my mom had of preparing a meal and then sitting down and enjoying watching her grandchildren running around, and my daddy on the floor rubbing his beard on their face and making them laugh and holler. And I remember lots of joy, the joy that she received from being with her grandchildren. So it started Christmas Eve way back. And it would vary because, like I said, we were at church to celebrate Christmas. Those are a lot of my memories of Christmas. And then we would have the time at home. There was always Daddy helping Mama, you know, in the winter months. He had more time to help her in the kitchen and help her prepare a few things. It was always a special time when Daddy would get up early and start breakfast. He would make that a special time for us when he wasn't so tired, and he would come in and fix us breakfast. And y'all have talked about the him chasing Mom around the kitchen table, and those are good memories. And he would put her on his back sideways, and I would be, as little as I was, I would be praying, Lord Jesus, don't her head hit the table. But Christmas, what was your question again?
You're covering it pretty good.
Christmas story.
Right. That's always been kind of important. I mean, it's very important, but to me, it's always been special that we read the Christmas story every year. And I don't know, I'd like to know how many years in a row that we've read the Christmas story on the farm, because, you know, for years and years and years, it was always on Christmas Eve, and it was always at Grandma's house. And I can remember all of my uncles taking their turn. And even, you know, as the years have gone on, I've had turns, and Michael's had turns. I remember Jamie's had turn. Just always been something special that I don't know what that was.
It was, I almost dropped the phone because
I got kind of queasy on that one. I thought I was going to fall all the way to the floor.
Well, technical difficulties, okay? Y'all talk about technical difficulties all the time, so excuse me, it was technical difficulty.
And I can remember us all packed into that living room.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there was a pile of folks in that room, and Grandma always had a Christmas tree, and we go out and we buy these Christmas trees nowadays, and the Christmas trees, my favorite ones were the ones that we would go out in the woods 2 days before Christmas, and we would cut one down, and Grandma would always talk about how pretty it was, and it was the ugliest Christmas trees.
Yeah. It favored Charlie Brown Christmas trees.
But they were decorated, and once they were decorated, they all were beautiful, and they mm-hmm. all served their purpose. And I can remember the stacks, because we would draw names at Thanksgiving, yeah, all of the ones that wanted to participate in the gifting. We would draw names because there's no way you could buy a Christmas present for everybody in the family. So we would draw names, and everybody would bring them. And I can remember a mound of Christmas presents
in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
It would take up.
It was big. It took up a lot of space.
The whole wall, it felt like.
And we were packed. I can remember being, you know, there would be 12, 14 people on one love seat because yeah. you know, the older ones would be sitting down and they'd have three or four youngins in their lap.
And you could, I mean, as a child, you could walk through, but the adults really couldn't walk mm-hmm. around once they got in their spot. That's where they were at for a while.
And singing, I can remember a singing.
The smell of that propane heater.
I used to love
the propane. Yeah.
I would love, we would do the 12 days of Christmas. That was kind of a family tradition. Yeah. And
Aunt Lydia.
That's exactly who I was thinking about, was Aunt Lydia. And I think it was rigged that she would get the five golden rings every year.
Yeah.
And she would lay it out. I just remember how much fun that was. And I mean, there was years we sang it more than once.
That's right.
we enjoyed it so much. We would sing it over and over.
it was really good. The Christmas is everything you're saying. And I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that it was hard for me. I didn't want it passed on to my uncles and my children. I know that Mom and Daddy were preparing us for them not being with us forever, but I just enjoyed, my favorite was my daddy mm-hmm. Reading the story, because he was the head of our house. He was the head of our home. And it just meant a lot to me when we all know that my mama kept him in line on her knees, but he was the head of our.
Yeah, he was the patriarch. That there was no doubt about it. He was the patriarch of the family, and Grandma was the matriarch of the family.
And his voice and his the strength, just the strength. Just so much in his voice that I wanted that. And a big regret is, you know, we record everything now. I would give anything for a recording of my daddy reading the Christmas story. It would just mean a lot. But yes, we had such good memories because all the singing, and Mama really did the five golden rings. Mama did that one up and laugh and she we would have so much fun sitting around the tables talking and telling stories. And Aunt Evelyn, one year we just bought gifts for Aunt Evelyn and Aunt Beulah. And that was as the children got older, and like if you wanted a gift for the little ones, the mamas or grandmothers brought them. And then we bought for Aunt Evelyn and Aunt Beulah, and they were there. And I remember them sitting around the table with Terry and telling stories. I would really like for I'll just tell it, and then everybody, y'all can get the corrections. Some of the stories that I tell have to be corrected. But there was a one story that brought tears to our eyes. We were laughing so hard. Is when Aunt Evelyn, Aunt Beulah, Uncle Calvin, Uncle Tilford, Mama, Uncle Jay. Did I leave anybody out? Aunt Thelma. No, that's Mama's siblings. And Iris. And I don't know how many of them were in on this, but there was a slew of them. They were out in the woods, and they had chopped down a tree. I know y'all talked about the jump board the other day. One of your podcasts talked about the jump board. And I tell you what, I was brave. Uncle Terry would send me so high on that jump board that I would just jump over to the side because I was scared of how I was going to fall on the board.
Yeah.
And bounce back up. So I learned to jump over to the side. Well, all these games, and some of these games came from Mama's growing up and childhood. She and her siblings were out in the woods, and there was a tree stump, and this is how they would nail a board to the tree stump, about 2 or 3 foot high tree stump, and nail the one end to the tree stump. And on the other end of that board, they would have a little box that was big enough for one of the kids to sit in, and they would spin it.
Oh, my goodness.
This particular day ended with one of the children. They had taken him to the porch, laid out on the porch, and prayed over him. And he survived. He or she survived. I do not recall.
Mm-hmm. But I thought I was kidding when I said we would do things until somebody got hurt really bad.
Yeah. Yep. They had a joyful day until this particular time the child was knocked out. And he's laying on, you know, this was before 911, so he's laying on the porch and praying. And he did survive. The child survived, but I think they called it a whirligig. But knowing that the child was fine and survived, Aunt Evelyn and Aunt Beulah and Mama and Terry, I can remember all of them laughing so hard, tears running down their face. They're laughing so hard at the fun that they had and the trouble that they were into when Grandma and Grandpa Jacobs saw that baby laying on their porch. But they come to know the Lord at a very early age. And I'll never forget the first time that I prayed over you, David. I had prayed over you, but it was on a Wednesday, and you were running a fever. And it was the first time that you had run a fever. And I remember packing you up and taking you to Mama. He has a fever. And she goes, Cindy, take him home and I'll check on him later. And she got in the car and went to church because it was on a Wednesday. And I was like, what? I thought she would just stop what she was doing and help me take care of my baby. But I took you home, and your daddy and I took care of you. But yes, I learned very from the start, pray over you.
Now, we kind of touched on a few things there. I'm going to ask a question about a story that we've heard as we grew up. But was you there when they were sliding down the tin of the barn?
Yes.
Okay. And this goes back to, we did something until somebody would get hurt. Our uncle, he got hurt.
Yes, your Uncle Terry got his butt snagged on a nail.
On a nail.
But let me take that. Now, we were not total idiots. This was fun. This was really fun. There was a barn, the barn that's there now, and there was a barn right beside it. Like the hog lot was between it. Daddy would keep the hogs in there, and before the hogs, he had the cows in there. And the barn beside it had a, it was more for the feed, the cow feed and everything. And it wasn't the roofs met. So, you know your skateboard ramp mm-hmm. that you built? Okay. Right. Well, it had that U in it. Well, y'all thought y'all were coming up with something, but no. We had a U on those barns, on that roof. There were two barns side by side, and the roof met. So you could run down that short one when you're looking at the barn now that's up there. That roof came way down over on the left, and then there was another barn over on the right. And you could run on, straddle that barn on the right-hand side. And then when it was your turn, you could stand up and take off running, build up steam, and then you could run up high enough to catch hold of the top on the other side. And then when you got hold of that and it was your turn, you could turn around and slide down.
And, okay. and y'all got on to us for riding pine trees down. And y'all are doing this.
We knew that there was, it would end. I don't have to tell you how those pine trees ended. And you know, that ended with Evan in the hospital with a broke foot.
Yeah,
more than one broke bone.
More than one broke bone, that's right.
And we were, we had lots of fun on that barn until Terry caught that. And I hate that he caught the nail. I really do, but better, a broke skin than a broke neck. And I'll tell you another thing. We prayed, we were praying for him because, on the farm, you talk about, different people talk about golden child. Our brothers were the golden child. We did not care that they were the golden child. They could work as hard. All this women's lib and everything, I have never been a big women libber because there are just some things a woman doesn't need to load around heavy, work with heavy equipment and stuff. And I'm not being, us girls did a lot. Donna and Nancy, especially. Donna and Nancy, they were good on the basketball court. They were good in the tobacco patch. I just kind of Piddled. I'll be honest with you. I was a piddler.
A piddler.
But they worked hard. Give me panning any day. I don't want to.
Panning, see?
Panning. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Panning's for the queen.
Yes, it was. I know. Ask Julie.
Yeah, Julie just didn't believe us. So, Aunt Cindy, how old were you about when that happened with Uncle Terry? You remember about?
Oh, let's see. How many years older than Terry? Terry, your mama is 4 years, 3 or 4. So Terry's about 5. So I was probably about 5, and he's about 10, something like that.
I got you.
Y'all
knew about praying at 5 years old.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because there's like 2 specific times that I prayed for my brother because he was the golden child, because I knew that it would be tremendously more hard work on for me if anything happened to him. But when I tell you that my mom and daddy loved every one of us, from the bottom of my heart, I mean, we all knew. Donna was the baby? Yes, Lord Jesus. There was 9 of us to love on her. So she was, yes, very special. She, rightfully so, she was the baby. But, okay, I can still remember my aunts talking about my Uncle Tommy. My mama loved dressing him up when he was tiny, and she was just so proud of him. And she would talk about, she would tell us stories about different things that she would make for him. And just like Aunt Thelma's boys, Mama would talk about them and the little things that Aunt Thelma would make for them. And oh my goodness, she found joy in making things and the things that she made. My prom dress, my mama made me. Marie probably made most of hers, but because she was sewing and she was older than me and she could do a better job, but mama helped me make a 2 things I distinctly remember mama making was my homecoming outfit in ninth grade and my prom dress. Yeah, that was ninth grade too when I went prom with Lainey. Beautiful, beautiful outfits. And but she would make things for the older, but she loved all of us. She loved who we were. She tried to mold us into better. But she accepted us as we were, and she helped us work on our shortcomings. She loved singing with Lydia playing that piano. And the louder she would sing, the louder Lydia would play. And it was just music to our ears. It was just a thing they always had.
Aunt Cindy, the scripture we had this morning, we were talking about, and one of the things that I think impacts us today as a family would be what Grandma and Grandpa instilled. Did they let y'all speak negative when y'all were coming up? I mean, you just said y'all had to pray for one another to make sure that, you know, y'all learned prayer early on for sometimes selfish reasons, but it did help. But was there negative talk?
No.
If you didn't have something good to say, don't say it. I got told that quite often by my mom.
Well, I did too.
I can remember Grandma saying, you don't want to speak it into existence. In other words, you didn't want to say negative about anybody or anything because it could happen. So right. You speak good things is what Grandma used to tell us, is to speak good things.
And I can say that I've seen that in all of my aunts and uncles. It wasn't just my mama. Of course, I was the recipient. David was the recipient of you and Michael of Aunt Marie. But it's always been, and I guess I always knew it was that way because I wasn't given the opportunity. But y'all encouraged us to speak positive, to encourage others. And I think that's something that, for me, looking back as a legacy, coming from Grandma and Grandpa, has really built the character of our family to what it is today.
Definitely, yep.
I agree. I know that there were a lot of times with farming is not an easy occupation, and especially, you know, back in the day, it was even much harder than it is now. You really learn to rely on the Lord for everything. Well, I know that there were times when, like, Julie went over and when Julie was talking about the day she went and talked to Grandma about Mary and Chip, although they didn't see eye to eye, I was right there in that kitchen, that conversation, not way back then, but at that moment, listening to it. I could see that telephone, that chair, and everything, and I heard those words, "Get on out of here, Jack," several times, and you know, that is such good advice, because I took that advice, when Lenny and I were married. Over the years, we've been married almost 50 years. We have not always seen eye to eye. And when you listen to each other and you let each other share, give each other the chance to share, and then walk on out, get on out of here, Jack. Well, that gave Mama time to pray about it and see things like Daddy was seeing them. And that gave Daddy time to get on out and see things the way he was seeing them and Mama. And that's what I've told my children a few times. If you see anything in my marriage that will help you, keep it, and all that garbage that wasn't good, leave it on the road. But in any marriage, you take from both sides, both families, and you learn from it, and you add some of your own. When David and Justin and now Larlee, when they tell me, "Hey, we're going over here to do so and so on this," that's good. I'm thankful that they are doing things, starting traditions with their children. But yes, I got to go back to the praying. Terry slid off the top of a truck. Do y'all remember how they took tobacco to the warehouse way back? They would
They load the
truck it was.
Two-ton truck.
They start with two piles in the back of a little cab of the truck, two sheetfuls of tobacco, one next to the cab and one right behind it, okay? That's the bottom layer. The next layer, one sat on the up against the cab of the truck. Half of it was on the side of the truck. And the other half was on that first pile. You got me?
Yep.
All right. And then there was another one on the other side. Then there was another one. So there's four on top of them two. So we have six piles, right?
Yep.
Then we'd put two more in the middle on the, so six, eight piles. So Terry is riding on top of one of them piles going to the warehouse and fell off. Oh, man, and I was kidding about, I mean, y'all know that he was a golden child, and he still is a golden child to me. But yeah, he slid off that, landed on pavement, and I don't know how many stitches he got from that, and then he got the stitches from the barn. But we prayed. Because we fought like cats and dogs, but we loved each other.
And the thing, you would think, I mean, I've always heard Grandpa was kind of stubborn, right? And if you think about it, the family's pretty stubborn. You would think that after Uncle Terry fell off of the tobacco going to town, that would be the end of it, right? Well, no, that was not the end of it. I can remember we would have the truck loaded like that, and then we'd be pulling a trailer, and it would be loaded as much as Grandpa could get on a trailer. And we would stop and pick up people on the way to town so that they could ride with us on top of the sheets of tobacco all the way to the warehouse. I can remember stopping at Tippin's. They called it Tippin's Corner, where Tippin's Garage. That's where Harley and Patrick lived. That's where they grew up. And I can remember Harley and Patrick piling on with us.
Yeah.
Going down Main Street, Georgia, with a bunch of youngins on top of it. You would get thrown in jail if you did that today.
Yeah.
So, Aunt Cindy, this is something that we ask, you know, everybody that we've talked to so far. If you could talk to your great-grandchildren or your great-great-grandchildren, what message would you tell them about where their faith came from and, you know, what would be a lesson that you could relay to them if they were to listen to this?
I would want them to know to love the Lord with all your mind, heart, soul, body. Love the Lord and love your family and love the unlovable. You know, it's easy to love. Some people are very easy to love, but it's those it's not so easy to love that brings us great joy.
Yeah, and that's Christ's example. For us.
Yeah.
He loved all of us. He died for all of us. Even the unlovable.
Aunt Cindy.
Yeah.
What values have you passed on to David and Justin and Laura Lee and the grandchildren? that you were instilled with by Grandma and Grandpa, do you feel like that you've passed on?
What I hope and pray that they get, and I feel like they do, is honor your parents, honor your grandparents. But first, honor the Lord and I want to, this keeps coming to my mind. You always ask about a scripture, and the first scripture that I remember Mama talking to me about, I mean, I don't think that this was actually the first scripture, but it's the first one that I remember whenever you were asking different ones about scripture, and it's the first one that came to my mind. She used to tell me a lot of times about Aunt Iris. Aunt Iris's favorite scripture was the scripture in about the Lord owning the cattle on 1,000 hills. Okay, now you can look that up and you can read it, but and please do that. But what she was letting me know is she was okay. She felt like she had had a good life. Y'all have talked a lot about my grandpa Bowen, my grandpa Robertson. Well, my grandpa Jacobs was a sharecropper. They moved around a lot. And when they were on up, I don't know exactly who made arrangements for this, but they lived in a little house between my Grandma Robertson and my Grandma and Grandpa Bowen. And so that was right up the lane, the little house right behind where Aunt Jane lives now. And I do not know. I think probably Aunt Mavis or Aunt Linda can explain whose house that was and how they came to live there. But it meant a lot to Mama and Daddy. It meant so much to my mama because my daddy honored my grandma and grandpa, Jacobs, and brought them. There's so many times we get caught up, well, we can't live that close to one another. We can't do this. We can't do that. But Mama always taught us we can. Get along. We can. The positivity from her. There was a lot to overcome. There was a lot of being a farmer. It was hard work. But she held on to, she knew her father in heaven owned the cattle on 1,000 hills.
Yeah, we were going to let David ask you that question. You know, what was your favorite verse in this season or something that really has meant something to you over this, you know, over your life or, you know, so.
Yeah.
We just reversed the questions a little bit.
Yeah. But she knew that we didn't have the finest of in the world's eyes. Like Mom and Daddy didn't leave us a lot of heirlooms in some people's eyes. But in their eyes, we were those heirlooms.
That's right.
The story that you told of Daddy leaving the day that some friction had gone on and he left the picker and he went off on the tractor.
Yeah.
I know some of the feeling that he was having. When I say every one of you were precious to him, you were his grandchildren. Now that I have grandchildren of my own, and my oldest grandson is about to be married, the thought that someone loves him and wants, you know, you've just given.
Yeah, it's a miracle.
Yeah.
I mean,
helped Corey and Tahita get married.
That's right.
And the thought that they have found someone in life who loves them as they are, and they love them, and they want to start a family, that's carrying on our heritage.
That's right.
I'm so happy. I am happy. But yeah, we all gave Mom and Daddy times where they went off and cried. Yes, they cried over their children and their grandchildren. But we also have to hold on to those times that we gave them great joy.
That's right.
And that's what I want to be remembered by, as bringing great joy to my children, to my grandchildren, to my husband, but most important, to my Father God.
That's right.
I think that's why I like to dance. I really like to dance. I know I can't, but I really like to.
Well, you proved that.
Okay. So for Christmas, Mama's going to do a little dance for everybody. Okay. She really likes it.
Okay. I have to come with
you. Well, we've been going at it for
an hour
now. Thank you, Aunt Cindy, for talking to us.
You're very welcome, and I do expect to get to edit. I want you to edit this.
We will not edit it.
We've taught Keith how not to edit.
No.
It's genuine. It's out there now. It's on Memorex.
So
that's my picture.
You did a good job, Mom.
You did. It was like having Mama here. Y'all don't know what it means to get to have y'all just talk to us.
That's right.
And the thing I think about is it's gonna be kept available now for our kids and grandkids, because it's gonna be out there and they can go look it up. You know, later on. But that's special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so thank you, Aunt Cindy, and we're going to call it a night, and we'll just let you tell us who needs to be called next.
Yeah. we really want all of your siblings to have a chance to talk with us. I know it's nerve-wracking for some reason. I've felt it before. But I think you've felt it tonight, that once you get to talking, you're talking about something
you're passionate about.
That you're very passionate about, and it comes out. It just starts flowing. Aunt Linda and Uncle Tommy, I would really, and I want to hear from all of them, but we actually talked to Scott. And we're going to try our best to get Uncle Tommy, because we know he's got stories that only he has, because he's the oldest, so he would have the best memory from way back, you know. But Mommy, you did good. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Aunt Cindy.
Thank you. We love you.
Thank you, Michael. Love you too.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.